Now, as we pursue the truth in the book of Romans, we come to chapter 16. Would you please turn to that chapter? And we'll read the first 16 verses. Romans 16, 1 through 16. And Paul is closing out his message to the church in Rome. He's writing from the city of Corinth. 16:1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junias, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Purpose, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asynchronitis, Phlegon, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nursus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ send greetings. Now, this is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture and just full of great truth for our lives. Before we get into the text, let's think a bit about the author, the Apostle Paul, and the unique man in history, one who was heavy into the law, highly educated by the greatest teacher in the law, a man named Gamaliel, a man who was zealous and who was on his way to persecute Christians, and God saved him. And God used him to give us half of the New Testament and teach us the great theology that is necessary for our lives today. It is Paul who teaches us about predestination and election and justification by faith and redemption and sanctification and reconciliation and the forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life, and all of these great things that we hold dear. And yet, in chapter 16, Paul bears his heart to us. What kind of man is this man God used to teach this great theology? He bears his heart in that he talks about people. As he concludes the message to Romans, he talks about people. There are 26 people mentioned here. 9 of them are with him in Corinth. And observe as we go through this now, how closely he knew them and how much he knew about their lives and the closeness of the relationship. And he worked with them. Paul was a team man. And as you read through the book of Acts and his three missionary journeys, he always takes people with him. The team man. Now that's Christianity. Christianity is people. The church is people. Now we dearly need to recapture that concept of the church today. We've lost it, mostly. Most people think of church as an organization. It is not. It is a living organism, alive. It's people, living people. It is not an institution. The church is not a religion. Religion is ritualistic and legalistic and moralistic and doesn't set people free. So we need to know in our life here that the church is people. And Paul deals with people. What is the ministry? It is a ministry of serving people. And as you live your life and you want to serve God and do His will, work with people. As a witness, if you're going somewhere to do something, take somebody with you and share the gospel. Always take people with you. Invest your life in people. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, let's look at this text for a little bit and catch the example of the Apostle Paul as he begins with this commendation of Phoebe. I commend to you our sister Phoebe. And then he talks about her. She is a sister. That is in Christ, not a blood relative to Paul, but she is his sister in Christ. By the way, it's highly thought that Phoebe is the one who carried this letter from Corinth to the Roman Christians, and she was entrusted with that. He says she is a servant. And he calls upon the Roman Christians to receive her with a genuine, real welcome. Welcome, Phoebe. And be eager to help her. She's going to come. What is she going to need? She's going to need hospitality. She's going to need a place to stay. She's going to need protection. And you Christian people, see to it that she's taken care of. I commend to you Phoebe. She is a sister and she is a servant. And she has helped me and many other people. That's a great thing. Paul's heart was there to take care of this dear lady as he cares about her. Now he goes on to talk about these other people. And we won't get into too much detail here, but think of who he knows. He says, greet, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Now, the record of his being with them is in Acts chapter 18. And they had a close relationship. They were fellow workers in the gospel. And Paul greatly appreciates them. He appreciated their loyalty. We don't know exactly how they risked their lives, but they did, and for many other people. And he says, greet also the church that meets at their house. He commends their hospitality. The church in their house. And you remember that we started in Chris and Becky's house. They had a church in their house. But it isn't limited to that. Every Christian family should have a church in their house. Daily worship, daily devotion, daily thoughts in the Word of God, daily prayer. Have a church in your house. That's what the church is about. And then he commends, by the way, Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. And Paul joined them in that business, and that's the way they earned their living. So they were together in business and in the gospel. And then in verse 5, he says, greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia. Now, great things have to come to the heart of Paul as he thinks of Epaphroditus traveling all across Asia Minor into these cities we read about, into Corinth and Colossae and Philippi and Thessalonica, and there's danger, and sometimes he gets beat up, and he goes in there and preaches the gospel in the mall. If he were here, he'd go to the Laguna Hills Mall and he'd start preaching right in front of Sears and Penny's and whatever. And there he has a convert. Epaphroditus, God saves him, gives him the faith to believe, and now here's a brother in Christ. Not everyone gets to see the fruit of their ministry or their witness. There was a man who went from the shores of the United States of America named Adoniram Judson, and he went to India, and he labored 17 years in the gospel and never saw a convert, saw no response, but remained there preaching the gospel. I had a friend named J. Arthur Mell, who was the first missionary to the headhunters in Borneo. And J. Arthur Mell is just a great man to be with. And he labored there, worked there at the risk of his life, and didn't see a whole lot. But after he left and came back, there were over 200 churches that came to be in Borneo as the fruit of his labor. Didn't see it while he was there. So as we work with people, sometimes we don't get to see a whole lot of the result. But we sow the seed and we keep working. I'm sure Paul would never forget Epaphroditus. And if you have ever been in the presence of someone whom God is saving, and you get to hear that person pray their first prayer, God have mercy on me and save me. I'm trusting in the blood of Christ and in his resurrection to give me eternal life. And there blossoms before you a new believer. You'll never forget that. And Paul will never forget Epaphroditus. Now, in verse 6, he mentions Mary. Mary, greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Now, there are six Marys listed in Scripture throughout the Gospels, and now another Mary. And we don't know much about her, except that Paul calls attention to her to greet her. Now, let me just put in a little commercial here for Paul and for biblical truth. Some people get the impression that Paul comes down hard on women and that he is, in a sense, anti-woman. Nothing could be further from the truth. In this passage, he takes great care to mention many, many women, and he respects them, and he cares for them. But because he's writing scriptural truth about women being, wives being in subjection to husbands, and women being silent in the church, that is not taking authority over men. They get the wrong impression. Paul loves the great women in the church with deep appreciation. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Now, 7. Greet Andronicus and Junias, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Andronicus and Junias. Here are blood kinsmen now, my relatives. They have been in prison with him, and they are highly thought of by the apostles, and they were had seniority in that they were in Christ before Paul. And then he goes on in verse 8, greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Now there's a simple word, but communicates truth. Greet this man whom I love in the Lord. He's dear to me. He's important to me. And I want you to treat him kindly and well and to take care of him. And he mentions Urbanus, Stachys, Apelles, people whom he approves. Dear friends, greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. And so Paul has seen these people grow through trials and suffering, and yet who love the Lord. And he says, greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Now, some of these people he mentioned here were slaves, and we're not sure about Aristobulus, whether he himself was a Christian. But Paul says, greet those who were with him. Some of them were slaves whom God saved. And he goes on to talk about Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Verse 12. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. There he is again. Now, who are these ladies? We don't know. Sounds like sisters, doesn't it? Maybe they're twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Now, if you're still bearing children, here are some names to consider. If you have twin girls, would David fall down? No? Okay. And you might think of this. You know, it could be called Phena and Fosa. And they get along. So Paul says they're important people to me. Persis, another lady in verse 12, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. And so women have a very, very important part of the ministry to people in the church. He says, greet Rufus. Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. What a group of people, and what a dear, precious relationship there is here that Paul has with people. And wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian had this kind of thing going with people? People whom he could think about and love, people he cared about, people who cared for him. Rufus, one of God's elect, chosen in the Lord, greet him, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. There is a statement in the Old Testament called the mothers in Israel, and it speaks of those mothers who took care not just of their own family, but were mothers to other people. And I think of my wife, Faye, as through the years where we had 40 or 50 young people in our backyard, and she mothered them, and we raised a lot of young people, and that was a great thing to have a part of that. And we need to think of people who have helped us, who have mothered us in a sense. And maybe it'd be good today to go to the phone, make some phone calls, and thank some people who have helped you in your Christian life. And then he mentioned all the other churches of verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Now, greeting one another with a holy kiss is a thing that has sort of died out. Probably a good thing today that in our kind of society that we don't need to do that. But it's a, what is that? It's an expression of affection. And we should be careful to do that. To be excited when we see each other. There's our dearly beloved Persis, and there's Rufus, and you have a new name, Kelly, and all these people. What a great thing. Well, Paul, if you were here this morning, we'd like to thank you for showing this example to us of working with people. Ministry is with people. And now, just a word about verse 17, as he concludes the message. He said, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division, put obstacles in your way, and they come with bad teaching, with false teaching, and it's fair to warn. In fact, one of the responsibilities of church leadership is to warn against error and to teach Christian people to be discerning about what you see on TV and what you read and what you hear. It isn't all good. There's a lot of error out there, and we need to be careful in our day. Paul closes his letter with a doxology of praise to the Lord. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. I hope today that we are returning to the concept of what church really is. It isn't an organization. It isn't a business. It isn't an institution. And it isn't a religion. It's a group of people, the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head, and we are members of the body. Our ministry is to each other, to people. We need to invest our time in people. And how do you do this? If Paul were here, we'd say, Paul, how come you could write like this in this chapter 16 and 26 people? And you know them really well. You know the relationships. How do you do this? Well, Paul would probably say, not boasting, but I spent a lot of time with people. My time. I was willing to give my time. It takes a lot of energy. I was willing to give my energy. I had a desire to do it because the love of Christ put love in my heart for them, and I really cared about them. And we were in prison together, and we suffered together. And we saw people get married, and we saw people bear children, and we saw them go through illness and suffering and financial setback, and we laughed together and we cried together. We bled together. That's ministry. That's how I know these people. It was caring for them. Willing to give time and energy and attention to invest in their spiritual maturity. It's a nice thing to help people with physical needs, temporal needs. That's good. It's called for, scripturally, to care for the poor and so on. It's a nice thing to see that people are educated in some way. But that's not it. The highest, the utmost, the chief thing that one human being can do for another is to help them towards spiritual maturity. That's it. That's what needs to happen. That's what Paul was doing. Notice that these people became workers and servants and were with him. They were reaching spiritual maturity. That's what we're about. That's what we need to pray we become more and more. And let that be the testimony of this small church. We're a people church. We work with each other. We bleed and sweat and cry and laugh together. God help us to that end. Well, I hope you can reread Romans 16 and catch the heart of the Apostle Paul and pray that he would cause us to have that heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, for what you did in the heart of Paul, and for his willingness to give of himself to these people. Lord, so work in our hearts just now that we may surrender our lives to be your servants and to surrender our lives to each other to give ourselves in ministry. And we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name.